The topic tonight is the mitzvah of tshuva according to the Rav's conceptual analysis. And I want to start off the shiur with what I call a medrash paliyah from the medrash Tanchuma on the first page of the Mar Makamos. We know that the best time of the year to do tshuva is the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the medrash, if you go back and you go to the top and count down to about the fourth, fifth line, they bring a pasuk from Pashas Naso, where the pasuk says the following. Uksiv Yisha Shempanav Eilecha. One pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael a special Nesi Aschein, a special acceptance of tshuva, acceptance of what Klal Yisrael does when it comes to activities. And Yisha Panav seems to apply above and beyond the call of duty. Kosav Acher Oimer Asher Lo Yisha Panim. But there's a contradiction. Other pasuk seems to imply HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show any type of favoritism whatsoever when it comes to Klal Yisrael. So quite obviously you have a contradiction between two different psukim concerning whether or not Klal Yisrael has Nesias Panim and not the special type of favored nation status, so to speak. So the pasuk continues, and the Medrash continues, Oysa Tshuva Noysa Lepanim, that if Klal Yisrael does Tshuva, Hashem is Nose Panim. He shows them favoritism, and he gives them a kapara. If Klal Yisrael do not do tshuva, then he's not lisa upon him. He does not grant them that type of favoritism. But now we come to the most problematic part of the Medrash. Yochel lakol, I would think that this concept is not just a Jewish concept, but it should be a universal concept. Talmud loma eilecha v'lo l'um acheres. This concept of Hashem responding to tshuva, responding to repentance, and giving you an Asiyas Panim, which means a certain favoritism to grant you expiation for your sin, is something that according to the Medrash applies to the Jewish people. It doesn't apply according to the Medrash to Umma Acheres, to any other nation on the face of the earth. Which causes a major philosophical and theological and historic quandary. Which means according to this Medrash, the concept of what tshuva is supposed to accomplish and Hashem's response to that tshuva seems to be something unique to Klal Yisrael, which the Ummas Olam do not receive. The obvious problem is going back to the time of the beginning of world history, and you don't have to go further back than going back to Pashas Bereishis. The first person to sin in this world was Cain. So we find the pasuk tells us that when the Rabbanu Shalom did not accept his karban, and Cain was tremendously depressed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain, Halo im seitiv se'etz, v'm lo seitiv lepesach atas rovetz, elecha tushukrasa v'atua tim shalbo. So the Targum explains that if you do tshuva, I will give you expiation for the chet of not showing me proper cover to bring me the proper cover from what you were working upon when it came to your profession. Over here, Chazal tell us that what Hashem was teaching Cain was the principle of tshuva. So tshuva was taught when it came to one of the sons of Adam HaRishon right in the beginning of Bryas Olam. And he surely was not a Ben Yisrael, he was a Ben Noach, Ben Adam at that point in time. Later on, when it comes to the Mabul, the Medrash asks the question, why did Noah have to build a Teva for so many years? Once again, that the Ummas Olam should see, ask questions. When he tells them Hashem is going to punish them for their Chamas, they should do Tshuva, and hopefully be able to mitigate that specific divine decree against them. Once again, the concept of Tshuva. When it comes to Avram Avinu in Sodom, what is the purpose of all his tefillahs? Maybe the Asura Tzidikim B'Secha'ir, they'll inspire the city to do tshuva and therefore be able to take the gzair against them and not destroy Sodom v'Amora. And the most telling problem of all the sources is the source in Sefer Yonah, which we read on Yom HaKippurim, where the Torah says, when it came to the gzairah, which Yonah was supposed to announce against the city of Nineveh, Vayar Elokim Esmaaseim Kishovim Midachem Ara, Vayonachem Elokim Al Ara Shidi Belasus Lehem V'lo Asa. So Chazal used that as the paradigm example of tshuva. The Gemara has Masechtas Tainis. Hashem saw their Tainisim. He didn't see the sack. He didn't see the fasting. What he wanted to see is he wanted to see the repentance. So we therefore see the concept of tshuva repentance is a universal concept. So how in the world can this Medrash say that this concept, Nesias Apanim, that Hashem grants you, the kapara for your tshuva, is a unique concept that applies to Klal Yisrael and it doesn't apply to Ummas Olam? It doesn't make sense. From the Torah itself, from the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you see that that's not the case. And what's even more problematic, besides these sources, if you look at the Maariv Kamos I gave out, on the left-hand side of the page, When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, whose Yom HaDin is it? Is it only Klal Yisrael's Yom HaDin? The world thinks it is, but that's incorrect. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah on top, but Rosh Hashanah kol bo'i olam over Mulefanov, Kibbinei Maron, Shinema Yotzi Yachil Liban, which means to say, Vameivin kol ma'aseyim, that the whole world is being judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just a Yom HaDin for Klal Yisrael, everybody's being judged. If everybody's being judged, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting not only for us to do tshuva, he's waiting for the non-Jewish world to do tshuva. We have a principle, the Gemara says, in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bo betchunya im habriyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu under no circumstances comes with any type of negative bias against any creature on the face of the earth, any nation. He gives everybody the same chance to repent and to do tshuva. When they came and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give them another chance to show that they're worthy for also the schar of Klal Yisrael. At the end of days, the Gemara says in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, so over there, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bo betrunya im habriyos. So he gave him momentarily the mitzvah sukkah to see what they're going to do with it. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows even the Umas Olam later on an ability to do tshuva. After that historical tekufa, normally they should not be able to do tshuva. To show them that if you better your ways, I'll give you the schar that you want. So how in the world, once again, could the Medrash therefore say that Nesiyas HaPanim, the concept of being able to expiate your sins through tshuva, is a unique process that applies to the Jews? It doesn't apply to Ummah Cheres. The biblical as well as Talmudic sources, Midrashic sources, don't seem to indicate it. This is the first question I want to pose tonight. And towards the end of the Shi'a, I'll get back to answer this question. But by then, you yourselves might be machaven what my teres is going to be. The second question I want to pose tonight. On the Maror Mekomos, on the left-hand side, which is quotation C, it says, Afal pisha tshuva v'hatzaka yafel olam, even though to do tshuva and to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always good, 365 days a year, ba'asara yomim shim Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim hi yafel b'yoser, u'miskabelos hi miyad shenema dirshu Hashem b'himatzai. That there seems to be a separate uniqueness to tshuva you do between Rosh Hashanah yom kippur, that's not applicable to Kol Hashanah Kula. The Rambam himself doesn't explain the mechanics behind it. He just mentions this is the fact, the Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo. We have to analyze tonight what's so special with the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And what's even more interesting is Halacha Zayin. It says, Yom HaKippurim huzman tshuva l'chol, l'yachud u'l'rabim, hu keitz mechila v'slich l'Yisrael. That this is considered a time of finality. When it comes to giving us slicha mechila for all that we've done during this past year, what's the meaning, kates? It's the end. If you don't do tshuva before Yom Kippur, I can't do tshuva afterwards. What's the finality that the Rambam is referring to? And unfortunately, he doesn't explain what the finality is. He makes the statement. And therefore, l'ficha chayav makol, lasrei tshuva l'svadas b'yom HaKippurim. So once again, we have to understand what that Rambam means. Why, if tshuva is a mitzvah that applies kol hashanah kula, it's a mitzvah haseshul hazman grama, what is the uniqueness with this tekufa, and what does Yom Kippur mean in connection with tshuva, that it's the keitz mechila v'slicha l'Yisrael? The final question I want to pose tonight is based upon the Rambam in the last halacha, halacha D, on the left-hand side of the page. And that is the following. The Rambam says, b'zman hazeh, shein beis hamikdash kayam, in our tekufa, we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh. Eilon HaMizbach Kapara, we don't have the concept of bringing sacrificial types of sacrifices today, Bizman Hazer, to allow us to the sacrificial service to give us Kapara. The Halavodos Yom HaKippurim on a functional, factual level does not exist today. Ein Sham Ela Tshuva. The only thing we have today to allow us some form of Kapara is the Mitzvah of Tshuva. But the Rambam says, I want you to know, HaTshuva mechaperes al kol averos. Tshuva is mechaper on every level of avera you perform. Afila rasha koyamav, for us a tshuva b'achrona, ein maskirin lo shum dova mirisha shenema, rishas harasha li kosho bo b'yom tshuva mirisha. Which means to say that according to the Rambam, tshuva is so all-encompassing. There's no avera on the face of the earth that if we do a proper tshuva, that it does not give me total expiation for the sins that I did. And even a person at the end of his life, if he does a tshuva shlema, and we have historical cases of individuals who at the end of their life sinned their entire life, and they did a tshuva shlema and they were given olam haba as a result of these types of tshuvas, tshuva has the capacity to expiate without the entire sacrificial service.
And furthermore, he throws in the Atz Moshe Makipurim, the actual Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. Mechapa L'Shavim Shenemar, Ki B'Yom Hazeh Yechapa Aleichem. Somehow, the Yom Kippur itself, together with the Tshuva, causes Kapar. But once again, there's no definition what is the connection over here between Tshuva and Yom Kippurim. But one thing is for sure, that Tshuva is Mechaperes Al Kol Averos. There isn't any Avera on the face of the earth. If you do Tshuva, you can have total expiation without the need and necessity to have the Karbanos of Avodas Yom Kippurim. Rambam says it explicitly. Despite that fact, in the very next halacha, there is a major contradiction. The Rambam says, even though tshuva is mechaperes, but nevertheless, he quotes the famous braisa from Masechtas Yoma of the Dalid Chalukei Kapara. The four different types of averas, which the Gemara records on Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph Masechtas Yoma, which the Rambam records over here, were depending upon the severity of the avera. What you need to cause total expiation of the sin depends upon the severity of the sin you performed. And he delineates it. Of adam mitzvahs aseh, she'ein b'karis. If I violate a simple mitzvahs aseh, I didn't eat matzah, or some other type of mitzvah which is a mitzvahs aseh, what do I do to get expiation? So Ram says one thing, I do tshuva, v'lo zoz misham ad shemochun lo. The only thing I need to cause expiation is doing tshuva, a real tshuva, and that's it. What happens if I violate lois aseis, where there's no creases or mises bezdin? For instance, I ate a piece in a veil and treifa. No creases or mises bezdin. So there I need two things, the Rambam says. I need over here tshuva tola, v'yom kippurim mechapa, and then Yom Kippur comes along and finishes the job. Now, what's the third category? If I violate a veil of creases or mises bezdin, I ate chalif, or did some other types of activities, Krisim is Bezan, for instance, Chilo Shabbos or Kedomer. Over here, there are three different ingredients. I have to have tshuva, I have to have Yom Kippurim, but then I need what's called Yisurim to come along, Lamarek to complete the job. And what happens if Chas V'Shalom, I violate a vera that involves Chilo Hashem, Chilo Shem Shemayim? So over here, there are four component parts. I have to do tshuva, the Rambam says. I have to have Yom Kippur. I have to suffer Yisurim. Umisa mamarakes, and Misa completes the job. So the obvious question everybody asks is, he just said before that Misa is mechaperes. I mean, the tshuva is mechaperes, akol averos. The tshuva has the capacity to eliminate all types of averos. And the Ram seems to imply tshuva without anything else. All of a sudden over here, he's adding other component parts that depends upon the type of Misa avera. The more severe the Misa avera, the more component parts I have to incorporate into the tshuva process in order to cause expiation. There is at least a little stira between what he says in Halacha Gimel, Mechap Akol Averos, just by doing tshuva, and then he delineates what's called the Dalet Chalukei Kapara, which is not the Rambam's Chiddush. He's quoting the famous Braisa in Masechtas Yoma, where Amatya ben Cheresh said to Lezer ben Zaya, I heard in Rome that there was a mentioning, they taught in the yeshiva the Dalet Chalukei Kapara, and the Rambam paskins the Gemara literally the way Gemara says on Pei Vav and Aleph in the Masechtas Yoma. So these are the questions I'm posing tonight as the beginning of the shiur, and that is, how do we understand this? And now we all do tshuva, we are told to do tshuva. What does tshuva mean? And how in the world do we understand these makaras when it comes to the potency of tshuva, the connection to Yom HaKippurim, and also, very importantly, the connection to the non-Jewish world to this mitzvah, how do they relate to it, especially based upon the Medrash Pli I quoted in the beginning of the shiur this evening. So to answer this question, or these questions, the Rav Zatzal, went to a very famous Gemara Masechtas Yoma, also Peivav Amabez, turn to page 2, Maramakam number A, and there's a famous Gemara which is quoting one of the greatest Balei Tshuva in the Talmud, the famous Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, we all know, was a gangster from his early youth. He met Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara describes how he was makar of him. He became one of the greatest Talmudists later on, one of the great Talmudic Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan considered him his greatest Talmud Chaver. Rachman Letzlam and Reish Lakish passed away prematurely. Rabbi Yochanan never had another Chavrusa like him. And he mentions this explicitly in the Gemara. So he was a tremendous gadol, one of the Gedolei Hadar. But he also was a Baal Tshuva, so he knew what it meant to be from the other side before he became a religious, pious Jew. So Reish Lakish makes two statements which the Gemara contrasts as a contradiction.
Reish Lakish says, Gedola Tshuva, she's a Deinis Nasa Lakish Gagais. That Tshuva is so great that what was a mazed, a rebellious sin against the Rabbeinu Shalom by doing Tshuva is reduced down to a Shkaga, to an accidental sin. Which means there is some type of reduction of the severity of the Avera by doing the Maisa Tshuva. That by some type of magic, by doing Tshuva, what was a mazed, what was a rebellion against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, is then reduced down to a level, be considered a shogeg, when it comes to your schav einish, when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom's relating to that specific sin. This was called a sin reduction. He then says, as you continue in the Maimer Chazal, he then says, Omer Reish Lakish, Gedola Tshuva, Shezadinos Nasalo Kezachias. The Tshuva is so powerful that a Zadon through Tshuva, not only is it eradicated, but it ends up becoming a sus, becoming a mitzvah. And that's a pretty, pretty cute activity. That all the Haveris you did by doing Tshuva, they're no longer considered Maisa Averos, but they're considered Zechuis, like you're doing a mitzvah. Somebody once asked me, Rabbi, does that mean I should do all the Averos and then do Tshuva, and therefore, instead of therefore then being considered Averos, that they'll all become mitzvahs? I mean, that's a tremendous idea. If you think about it, then people themselves will take this Maimer Chazal and use it in such a way that will bring it out of context. But nevertheless, if you read it literally, that's what he says. The Tshuva is so potent that the Zadon becomes a Zachias, becomes a Zchus. But internally, in Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish, there is a contradiction. How powerful is Tshuva? One says it only reduces. The other one says it transforms the Avera into some type of spiritual merit. So the Gemara says, Lo Kashya. Kami Ava Kami Yira. Now we're coming to the most crucial Yisod of tonight's Shir. And that is, the Gemara is Megala to us, that the two types of Tshuva. Tshuva that comes from Yira, Tshuva that comes from Ava. Tshuva that's motivated by fear of divine punishment, and Tshuva that's based upon my awareness that I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I rebel against the Rabbeinu Shalom? How can I do that to Hashem? Look at what He's done for me in my entire life. And therefore, it's my Avas Hashem that motivates me to do Tshuva. According to the way the Rav conceptualized this, what the Gemara said is the following. When do we say that if a person does Tshuva, the Zadonos become Shkagos, if you do Tshuva Meyira? If a person does Tshuva Ma'ahava, from love, there not only is the actual sin eradicated, but the Zadon becomes a Zachios, becomes a Schus. From some type of magic formula I'm going to describe very shortly. But to reconcile Reish Lakish should not be self-contradictory, he's talking about two different levels of tshuva, and obviously him being a Baal tshuva, he himself would have an understanding of different levels, different motivations when it comes to doing tshuva. Could be initially he was on the level of doing it miyira, and later on he might have brought himself up to the level of Ava later on in his own metamorphosis and his spiritual development. We can't believe overnight he went from a gangster to a tzaddik yisrael olam. That's only in today's world you can go from mikatzah mikatzah simultaneously and you know, keheret ayin. But in the world of reality, it takes time for a person to build their spiritual essence. So maybe he himself was giving us a little bit of his own understanding, that initially the actual Zogdom, because of Tshuva Meyira, reduces the severity, but if you want to eradicate the Maisa Veira, there has to be Tshuva Meyava, and only does it eradicate, but it becomes a Zachias as well. So the Rav Zatzal over here spent a couple of minutes to try to explain what's the rationale of Tshuva Meyava and Tshuva Meyira. Unfortunately, the Gemara does not explain it, just throws the terms out. But later on, the Rav points out that this chilek that the Gemara makes, Shuvim Ad Shuvim Yira, is mentioned by the Minchas Chinuch as well, in an explanation of this specific sugya. But even the Minchas Chinuch does not go into a psychological, emotional understanding of why this is the case. What I'm sharing with now is the Rav's perception of how you understand this specific Gemara. He points out the following. When it comes to human psychology, human personality, when a person does tshuva because of fear, what are you fearing? You're fearing, at least in the initial development of a person's spirituality, the fear of divine punishment. If a person rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rebel against anybody who is a king, a human king or a divine king, you expect punishment for your rebellion against the king. A person, when he therefore does tshuva initially, When he finds out that if you do sin, there are consequences, and severe consequences, your life might be at stake. So when they do tshuva, they're doing it because of a certain amount of coercion. The coercion of punished, being punished. When you do tshuva because of fear of punishment, Did you really psychologically come to the conclusion that I shouldn't sin anymore? Is your taiva for that sin basically eradicated? Is the shorish of the sin in your neshama when it comes to its taiva towards you, is that sin in fact eliminated by the tshuva? Absolutely not. What's keeping you in place is the fear of somebody punishing you. When a person's put behind the bars and they realize that if you escape over here, you're going to be punished and maybe even killed, quite obviously you inhibit your activities of rebelliousness. But that doesn't change you. There's no metamorphosis taking place. So the Rav says, if that's the case, the bracha Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us was that if you yourself do tshuva, which you have to do, he can't do it for you, that's Bechiris Chavshis, and you're willing to take a hold of yourself and say, I'm no longer going to sin with this terrible type of sin, whatever it might be, and I do tshuva miyira, what Hashem says I'm going to allow you to accomplish with that is to reduce the severity of the crime. Instead of it being amazed, well, be considered a shogeg. And the way the divine punishment punishes, the shogeg is different than amazed. But since you haven't come to the conclusion, I no longer want to sin anymore because it's still mushrashi in neshama, and what's holding you back is the fear of yirasa onesh, the most you can accomplish with the tshuva meyir is a reduction of the severity, but not an eradication of the sin. Masha Enkein, the Rav says, when a person does tshuva ma'ava, what you're really saying to yourself, if you're on that type of darga, is that how in the world can I sin against the Rabban Yishalam, even though I have taivas? If Chazal were aware of the fact, we all have temptations. And when the Torah was written, it was written for everybody. For tzaddik and gemurim, people are not tzaddik and gemurim. All the lavam of the Torah, no matter what the lav might be, including arayas, was written with the awareness that we all have taivas. And therefore nobody can tell you in this world, there's no such thing as a tzaddik who doesn't sin, because the pasuk says opposite. We all have sometimes sinful thoughts or sinful moments. If that's the case, what distinguishes a tzaddik yisraelim from a pashut person is he, before he sins, starts going through a cheshbon and nefesh. I have a taiva based upon my physical animalistic desires to sin, but mitzad sheni, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and my relationship. We're in love with each other, neither deidi v'deidi li. I have tremendous avas Hashem mesiras nefesh. I have taivas. My refrain from sinning is not because I'm fear of God punishing me, but I don't want to tarnish the relationship I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I have a kesher and a devekus, a besidba between myself and Hashem, I'm going to let an animalistic taiva undermine and undercut that type of divine relationship and my connection to the Rebbein Yishalom, to the Ein Sof. I'm going to allow that momentary desire to break up our relationship. So therefore, the motivation over here is not because you're fearful of punishment. Your motivation is, how can I hurt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feelings and His love as a father for me by acting as a rebellious child? I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He loves me. And therefore, it's your love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that motivates you to want to, quite obviously, connect to Hashem. When a person does tshuva me'ava, let's say a tzaddik does, unfortunately, nichshal, and he realizes what he did on a conceptual, theological basis, his desire to return to Hashem is not because he's afraid Hashem is going to punish him. He wants to renew the relationship he had, kidim chet, and that is a kesher of devekus, of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of a baisidbach, of a love, of a feeling of a kesher between his Selam Elokim and the Rebbeinu Shalom. His motivation is a spiritual motivation, totally irrelevant is the einish part over here. When a person does tshuva mi'ava, therefore, he therefore takes upon himself the understanding, I was nichshal by having this taiva get the best of me. I'm no longer allowed to happen. I tasted the sin, I realized the foolishness of my activities. I'm returning to Hashem, not because I'm fearful of him punishing me, but I have to bring myself back to that pristine, pure relationship I had before the chet. And that's my motivation. When a person does it for that type of motivation, the schus of tshuva is, tshuva mi'ava, not only is the sin eradicated, and we're talking about reduction, the vera becomes a non-entity, but for some reason, I'll explain to you very shortly, it's considered a schus on your behalf. Which means not only is it eradicated for tshuva mi'ava, but literally, it becomes a schus for you as well. It doesn't say it becomes a mitzvah. It becomes a zachias. Now, what does that mean? So the Rav says, if you want to know what that means, look at quotation B in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. When you read this Rambam, the Rambam opens up our eyes. The Rambam says, Al yidma odem bal tshuva, shumaruch manala satzadikim. The normal tendency of a person who sins is he feels that he has alienated himself from the Rabbanu Shalom. And as a result of this alienation process,
How can he come close to Hashem and be on the dag of those tzaddikim who never, never did this type of ma'aseh aveira? And if you feel a certain type of richuk, distancing, many avinas hachatosh asa, ain't adavah kein, the rabbi says. That's not the case. Ella, after you do tshuva, and he's talking about tshuva mi'ava, aho v'nechman hu l'fnei habariki l'lochata mi'olam. What kind of tshuva is he talking about over here? He's talking about tshuva mi'ava, because he says upon completing this tshuva, what is it? Is if I never sinned before. According to the resolution of the Gemara, which of Reish Lakish's contradiction, you never sinned before only happens when it's a tshuva mi'ava. It's not when it's a tshuva mi'ira. Tshuva mi'ira, there's a vestige of the sin. It's just reduced from the severity of a mezid down to a shogeg. If the Rambam says as if you never sinned before, he's talking about the level of tshuva mi'ava. And tshuva mi'ava means that when I do tshuva mi'ava, I'm returned to connect to HaKadosh Baruch on the level as if I never ever sinned in the past. The whole past history is totally eradicated and erased. V'lo'od, this lo'od is crucial. El sh'scharo habe sh'reitam tamchet u'pirish mimenu u'kovash yitzro. Which means to say, by the fact I tasted the taste of sin, and for a person to want to sin, Rabbi says, sin is very tasty. It's very delicious. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be a temptation. So by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed sin to have a temptation in order to draw you and to see whether I'm able to be kovash my yitzer. Since he was toying the time of chet, which means he remembers that chet, on a psychological, emotional level, we know now, based upon neurosciences, what happens when a person tastes something forbidden. In the inner resources of the neurons of your brain, you already have like a zikaron locked in over there concerning that specific blissful experience. Like you just thought was blissful experience. It's in the psyche of your brain, all the way pushed back over there for later recall. Since he was toying the time of chet, u'pirish mimeno, and what he has to do now is exert himself, the kavash yitzro, he shouldn't allow it to come out anymore. Omru chachamim, mokim shabalei tshuva ondim, ein tzadikim gemurim yochel lamad bay. Where balei tshuva able to reach spiritually, when it comes to the schar and shemayim, a tzadik gomer can reach, kloimer, malos and gedolim malos elu shalchot mi'olam, because they are kovish the yitzro more than him. This Rambam is unusual because he's talking like a psychologist over here, and a psychiatrist. He's not talking like a halachist. And this is in the Mishnah Torah that basically is the Shulchan Aruch. What is Rambam telling you? What he's telling you is the magic explanation of how a Zodon through Tshuva Mi'ava not only eradicates the sin, but comes into a Zachios. How does that magic work? He says, very simple. What Chazal said is not only does the tshuva me'ava have the capacity because of the noble kavanah while you're doing tshuva to eradicate the sins if you never sinned before, but since mikano lahaba, I have to use more spiritual and emotional, psychological energy to maintain my spiritual stance and not allow my neurons of my brain to bring me back to that pleasurable experience, that mayim gnuvim you talk of the past. So we have a principle in Hashkafa, lefum tzara agra. The more pain you put into something, the more spiritual reward you receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From Tzar Agra is the principle we have, B'chol HaTeva Kula. Since I, to maintain my spirituality, have to put more Tzar, and more self-exertion, and more spiritual emphasis in what I do, that I shouldn't return to that sinful type of activity. It requires more activity on my part, more emotional activity, more physiological activity, more spiritual activity. That extra hishtadlus, from tsar agra, is what makes it into a zachias. It doesn't make it into a mitzvah. People fool and make it. It's not a mitzvah. It means when it comes to schar min hashamayim, if they ask you later on, how much schar does this person have? If he was time to do that ma'aseh iser, and he remains a tzaddik yisrael olam henceforth, that requires work each and every day of the rest of his life. That extra hishtadlus, that from tsar agra, gives him a schus and shemayim. Now later on, when it comes to his ultimate payment, ilam emes, a person is rewarded according to the amount of tzar you put into doing mitzvahs. So that's what the Rama meant. He says it himself, that the actual shuvah mi'ava, as if you never sinned before, is not only eradication of the sin, but it becomes a spiritual merit based upon the principle of lefum tzar agra, and therefore that's what Chazal meant. That where Baal Tshuva stands, tzaddikim can't stand, which means not because a tzaddik gomer has to sin to become greater. It means when it comes to Olam Emes, where you judge based upon the amount of tikh you put into mitzvah activity, there might be an irony that a tzaddik who is a tzaddik and pelts his entire life,
might end up getting less schar and shemayim than a person who was a baal tshuva, because when it comes to what they had to do in this world to refrain from sinning, a baal tshuva has to exert himself more than a person who's been from their entire life. I hate to use the Rashi Tavis from FFB and about MBT, which has become, you know, vogue in our community. We just throw around labels of people. There was a very famous story that Ramesha was once, had one of his Tamidim who were involved in Kirev Rechokim, brought one of his Tamidim to Ramesha to introduce him to Ramesha, to tell Ramesha, this is my latest Baal Tshuva, my latest BT. So Ramesha looked to the Talmud and he said to the Talmud, I want you to know something. You're a Baal Tshuva, I'm a Baal Tshuva. Every day I realize the mistakes I made the day before and I got to work upon them. So welcome to the club. That's the sensitivity of a Gadol B'Yisrael. Giving labels is a very dangerous phenomenon. Unfortunately, in this world today, everybody is very, very quick to give labels. What Chazal pointed out over here is the Baal Tshuva is given a special credit, not because he's the Baal Tshuva, but the reason is because what he has to do to spiritually exert himself to maintain that spiritual level is something in the Soyan, a tzaddik gomer who's never tasted sin and never had the exposure to be able to do that sin. That extra spiritual energy gives him greater schar and shemayim, and that's what the Rambam meant, and that's what the Gemara meant. That the zedayinus becomes a zachias, a unique pshat. The Rav said, this Rambam tells you, without the Rambam, I wouldn't understand the Gemara. This makes sense. With this Rambam, I now understand what zachias means according to the Gemara. So we so far saw that if that's the case, we have the answer to one of the questions I posed before, and that is a steer between the Rambam on the first page of the Maamar Kamos, between Halacha Gimel and Dalit. When the Rambam says that tshuva is mechapa on all averos, he's talking about the ideal tshuva. What's the ideal tshuva? Tshuva mi'ava. Tshuva mi'ava will cleanse every ma'is avera, whether it's an asay, a lois asay, krisus amisus bez and achil Hashem. If a person does tshuva mi'ava, when you do tshuva mi'ava, you end up being mekadesh shem shemayim. That ends up cleansing you on such a level that I don't have dalach luki kapara. The tshuva itself is sufficient to be the cleansing agent of that ma'aseh aveira, and it becomes a zachios if I maintain myself with my spiritual stamina. When the Rambam mentions the dalech luki kapara, that's referring if I do a tshuva meyira, where there's a reduction of the sin from a zadayin down to a shkaga. Since there is a remnant of the sin psychologically, emotionally, and religiously around, now it depends upon the level of the severity of the sin. For an aseh, tshuva is sufficient. For a lois aseh, I need tshuva yom kippurim. For krisus mitzvahs bezdin, what do I need? I need yisurim. And rachman l'tzlan, for achila Hashem, I need also misa. But that's only if you're doing tshuva meyira, where there's a vestige of the sin, and there's only an avera reduction. That's halacha dalit. Halacha gimel, where he says, tshuva is mechapa al all averas. That's tshuva miyava, there's nothing left. If there's nothing left, because ki lochatam yolam, there's no logic of having dalach luki kapar. What do you want to be mechapa upon? So that's the way the Rav resolved, based upon this Reish Lakish. The steer in the Rambam in the beginning of on page number one. But now I want to go further and come to another major sort of tonight. After I taught you the power and potency of tshuva mi'ava, so now the question really begs itself, what do I need Yom Kippur for? What does Yom Kippur add to the picture that tshuva mi'ava can't accomplish? If tshuva mi'ava literally eradicates it and makes it a zachias, so what is special about the Asaris to make tshuva? What's the concept that Yom Kippur is the day of the Ketz, Mechila V'Slicha? What do you need it for? With all due respect, Tshuva Ma'ava eradicates and makes it a Zachias. I can do that the whole year round. So why in the world do I have to have Yom Kippur? What does Yom Kippur add to the process itself? So the Rav Zatzal, in his Alat Tshuva, makes a big deal on this. And this is the second major episode of this evening. What the Rav says, Zatzal, is when a person does a ma'aseh aveira, the two major ramifications that unfortunately take place when a person sins. Number one, when I sin, I rebel against Hashem. Rebelling against Hashem, even when you do it shogi, let alone mezid, warrants a midas adin to come and to punish you on the spot. Whether yisurim or misa, but as the Maram Chal says in the Smilas Sesil Sesharim, anytime you rebel against any king, you expect punishment. Alas, come, when you rebel against that Kaddish Baruch, when you know what you're doing, you're supposed to be punished. So the first concern we have when a person does a sin is what's going to be the onish min Hashemayim. There are no freebies in this world. There's always a din v'cheshbon. Rahman al-Islam, we hope people do not receive the din v'cheshbon of sometimes things that we do. So the first thing we're concerned about is the onish.
But then there's a second problem. And that is, by definition, when a person sins, sin means you're allowing the Ruach Tehora, the Neshama Tehora Hashem gave you, to be sullied by sin. What does that mean? That sin is a metame. Sin causes a spiritual contamination of the Neshama. The Gemara says it very succinctly. Avera metatemes libel shel adam. That on a Kabbalistic level, when a person sins, it causes a spiritual clogging of the spiritual purity of your neshama, whatever that means on a Kabbalistic, metaphysical level. And if that's the case, I have two problems to worry about. Number one, the onish for having sinned and rebelled against Hashem, the Maisa Avera. And number two, how in the world am I ever going to have the ability to take my neshama that was pure, that I'm achieved to give back to Hashem as pure at the end of my life, if I literally have been metame that neshama, I've uncontaminated neshama by doing a Maisa Avera. How do I accomplish it? What are the mechanics to accomplish this? So the Rav Zatzal said the answer to this question is the following. He points out that to take care of the sinning process, to take care of quite obviously the onesh, so the first thing we do is we do tshuva. When a person does tshuva, what does the tshuva do? The worst case scenario, where it's tshuva meyira, it protects you from being punished for having done a mezid, and therefore you treat it as if you did it accidental, which means to say it calms down the midas adin. It serves as a protecting device that you should not be punished on the spot for having committed this avera. The Rav points out that the etymological root of kapara is like kapores, same thing, a cover. The same way that kapores covers the Aron HaKodesh, you become encapsulated with a special ability to not be hurt by the midas hadin by doing tshuva. So kapara, therefore, is a protective divine agent Hashem created, that when you do tshuva and you get a kapara, the midas hadin is therefore held off from hurting you on the level of the sin. If you do a tshuva, at least a tshuva meyira, and show you tshuva meyava, by the tshuva itself serving as a special shield to protect you against the midas hadin. So kapara means a shield, a protective device. The Rav is very emphatic about this. It's not some type of magical cure. It doesn't eradicate the sin. It merely prevents the midas hadin from doing something to punish you. And if you do a tshuva meyava, it eradicates it. If it's tshuva meyira, it protects you from being treated as a mezid and therefore dying on the spot because of rebellion. But it's a protective device. A person has the capacity as a human being, through tshuva, to facilitate kapara. And this concept of kapara and doing tshuva applies kol hashana kula. However, when it comes to rectification of the purity of your neshama that's been contaminated because of chet, the Rav was convinced, based upon Kabbalistic sources, that the neshama Torah that Hashem gives us, He gave it to us in purity. We're supposed to maintain its purity. But if we take that neshama and we contaminate it, and we sully it with sin, depending on, and the more serious the sin, the more tumor we contaminate our neshama with, we as human beings don't have the capacity to cleanse that neshama ourselves. We can't cleanse it. And therefore, the consequence of the tumor of the sin stays on our being, even if we do a tshuva mehava. Interesting. The tshuva mehava might eradicate the onesh and the punishment, ki'il lochotam yolam. But that's vis-a-vis din va'onish. When it comes to the spiritual malaise a person suffers because of doing the sin, that's not in the realm of human capacity for us to matar it once it's been sullied by various types of various chamuras. So what's the etzah? So the Rav said this is the gzeris akasuv of Yom HaKippurim. By Yom HaKippurim, if you look to page three, on the bottom of the page, left-hand side, it's a pasuk we recite over and over on Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We say it so many times, we take it for granted. But tonight, after we learn through the pasuk, you won't take it for granted this Yom Kippur, I can guarantee you. It says in the pasuk, Ki bayom hazeh, on this day of Yom Kippur, Yechapra aleichem, letareschem, michol chatoseichem, lifnei Hashem titaru. On this day of Yom Kippur, I want you to know that two things are happening. Not only is the tshuva going to facilitate you getting a kapara, but this I can do kol hashana kulo. But there's something else happening. That on this day you're also going to have the ability latareschem michol chatasechem to undergo spiritual purification. But who's going to be the purveyor of that purification? Lifnei Hashem titaru. The only one, the only entity on the face of the earth, in the whole universe, that can literally recycle a neshama and give it purity again, is the Ribbono Shalom. And the only day of the year, based upon Gzeiras HaKasuv,
that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing, through his chesed, through his mercifulness, to take on neshama and to repurify it, to bring it back to neshama tahara, based upon Gzeres HaKasuf. The only day that's possible, according to Chazal, is on the day Yom Kippur, based upon Gzeres HaKasuf. This day, this Metzius is going to happen. Why? Because that's what Hashem ordained. This day is the day of Kapara, Veslicha, Vetahara, and because of the purity and the spiritual nature of this day that we're Nidmet to Malachim, Hashem is willing to be gracious to grant us Tahara. Now, where do we see this? It's a beautiful idea. If that's the case, we therefore have now an answer to one of the questions I posed before. Why is it that tshuva during the Aser Simei Tshuva, and especially Yom Kippur, is so chashuv, so different than the rest of the year? And why is it the case Mechila V'Slicha? Because the only time during the year you're able to have not only Kapara V'Tahara is during Aser Simei Tshuva with the culmination of Yom Kippurim. It's the case Mechila V'Slicha. That quality is not available to us Kol HaShana Kula. Now how do I know on Yom Kippur that Tahara is being facilitated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there's a famous Maimon Chazal, turn back to page number 2, which the Mishnah says in Masechtas Yoma on quotation C, 2C. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Mishnah Mufereshes, Ashreichim Yisrael, HaFortune you are, Klal Yisrael, Lefnei Miatem Taharim, in front of who you purify yourselves, Umi Metareschem, and who's doing the actual Tara? Who's doing the Tara? Avicha Shebeshamayim, the Rabbi Yisrael says, I'm doing the Tahara. Shenema v'zarakti aleichem mayim tohorim v'tahartem. V'oim ha'mikva Yisrael Hashem, ma'mikva metar es ha'temeyim. Af HaKadosh Baruch metar es Yisrael. Can it be more explicit? I mean, the Mishnah says, B'Shem Rabbi Kiva, that the agent who's going to be responsible for Tahara is none other than Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't do it. Nobody else can do it. The only entity that's given the power and gave the power to do Taras HaNeshama is the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the only day during the year that Hashem is willing to grant that type of spiritual purification based upon Gzeres HaKasuv is by Yom HaZeh, Lifnei Hashem Tetaru, on Yom HaKippurim. The Rav Zatzal, based upon this, point out a brilliant resolution to a stira between two Ma'amarei Chazal that I always wondered about. And I want to share with you tonight because this was Rav's brilliant genius, Kedarka B'Kedesh. The Rav says, we have a Yalkut Shmoni that says, in the world of Hashkafis Israel, we have what's called Tshuvas HaMishkal. That which you sin with, you can use later on as a way of doing Kapara with it and having what you did by Kapara basically serve as a way of absolving you from the sin you did before. And the classical example is, we sin with a golden calf. We use gold for the sin of the Egel Azov. What's a kapara? So the Medrash says when a Kohen Gadol wears golden begadim during the whole year, his shmoni begadim, that gold used for the spiritual purpose of Avedus Hashem is a mechaper on the chet of the Egel Azov. Which means we apply the principle the Medrash says is that the katega becomes the senega. The katega means that which was the prosecuting attorney against us, now becomes the defense attorney to save us from Midas Adin. The Ketega becomes a Senega. That's called Tshuva Samishkal. That which was we sinned, we're now using L'Shem Mitzvah, it eradicates the Maisa Avera. It's a Tshuva Samishkal. But there's another problem. The problem is that there's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says that we're very mocked when it comes to making shofaros for the purposes of Rosh Hashanah, to use shofars that come from rams and lambs, but we can never ever use a keren of a parah. Why? You think the opposite. If I use a keren shel parah, I'm taking a parah which is a calf, and doing a tshuvas hamishkal with it, the same way I golden begodim, I'm a chap on the chet of the egel azov. On the contrary, the hidden mitzvah should have been to take bedavka, a horn of a calf, and use that as a shofar that we should do a tshuvas hamishkal. But the Gemara says, you know why we can't do that? Ein ketega nasa senega. That which was the actual accusatory, the prosecuting attorney, can't become the actual defense attorney. So the Rav says there's a stira between the Gemara and the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni. What's going on over here? So he points out, what is the reason you can't use the shofar shel egel? So the Gemara says that since the purpose of the shofar is lizikaron, since it's a zikaron, kilif nimdamya. When you're blowing the shofar, it's not that you're blowing the shofar outside in the azara. It's if you blew the shofar in the kaddish kadashim. And since it's for that purpose, that level of spiritual attainment, we don't have enka tega nasa sanega in the kaddish kadashim. So the Rav says, what does that mean? Well, even if you hear the resolution of the Gemara, you still ask yourself the question, but what does that mean? If Katega Nasas and Agar, so let's do it in the Kaddish Kedashim. Why can't we do it inside the Kaddish HaKadashim? So the Rav in his brilliance makes the following Ha'ara. He said, let's analyze this. When the Kohen Gadol went into the Kaddish HaKadashim, did he wear his golden begadim? No. There the Gzeris HaKasav was, he had to wear white begadim. To go in with golden begadim would have passed the entire Aveda. What's the symbolism? Outside in the Azara, you gotta wear the golden begadim. Inside, Kaddish Kedashim, the white begadim, and he keeps on changing back and forth, back and forth. What does this mean? So the Rav says these two types of Big Day Kahuna, of the Kohen Gadol, represent two different facets of what's going on when it comes to the tshuva process on Yom Kippur. When it comes to us doing tshuva, hopefully tshuva mi'ava, we want kapara. There, when the Kohen wore those begadim, he was repping Klal Yisrael's aspirations that the Ketega should become a Sinega. That we should have a Tshuva Samishkol. If we will Mechal Hashem, we should do Kiddush Hashem to counter the Chil Hashem. Therefore, where did the Kohen wear this? Outside in the Azara, which represents Klal Yisrael's communal existence. So outside in the Azara, he wore his golden begadim to represent to Klal Yisrael that you have to work to do a Tshuva Samishkol in the Chet you did. There the halach is bedafka ketegen asas and egar. That the gold begadim have to be used as a kapar in the chet of the egel azov. That which I sin with has to bedafka be used now as a way of being mekadesh shem shemayim and bringing myself closer to Hashem. Ketegen asas and egar. When I go lefnai lefnim, what am I saying to the Rebbeinu Shalom? Rebbeinu Shalom, I did everything I could do outside. But now, after I finish my kapara, there's one more thing I need in Yom Kippur. And that is tahara. Tahara is not in the capacity of human beings to accomplish that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us tahara. So when you go into the Kiddush HaKadoshim, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, I wear my white begadim and say, there I want tahara. I want to be cleansed. I should be white as snow. Tahara Sanashama, that's only under the aegis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Bedafk, I can wear golden begadim. To wear begadim of gold, this would be basically a chutzpah to say as if I can facilitate tahara. But that's not true. Tahara is only under the agency and the yichudus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore the Rav says, there the halacha is ein ketega nasa sinega. There I have to go bedafki in with white begadim to show that that's my incapacity. At that point in time, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the tahara, and I symbolically change from the gold to the white begadim to show what I want to accomplish by the levoida of lefnai lefnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when I'm burning that keteris there. I want purity of my neshama. The keteris represents the purity of the neshama. That can only be accomplished b'chvoid b'atzmai only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there the halach is that ain't ketegen asas nega. And since when you're blowing the shofar is looked upon not as an avod outside in the Azara, but an avod in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there we apply the principle ain't ketegen asas nega, and therefore you can use a keren of a parah, because that would be like wearing golden begadim. Therefore you have no choice but to use a spiritual type of shofar, the one of the ayah, where a person shows total his batlus of himself, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, what was the sign of the Ekedis Yitzchak? To show I must batl myself entirely to the Ratzin of Hashem. Avram and Yitzchak were totally out of control. There was no rationalization whatsoever when it came to Ekedis Yitzchak. Everything was totally in what Hashem told him to do. That his batlus is represented by the Karen of the Ayel. So we bedafka below that in order to show our Kadosh Baruch Hu for that was subservient to you. That tahara could only be accomplished by the shofar of an eagle, of an ayol. And that is what we're blowing on shofar. Kinsinski lefmim dami, is if we're going into the Kedesh HaKadoshim and showing our hisbatlis, we're literally be mavatl ourselves. We're lowering ourselves in front of you, saying that we can't accomplish the ultimate tahara without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's participation. There the halach is en ketegen asas nega. But you need the Rav's brilliance to see that. And you need the Rav's brilliance to be able to see the reconciliation of these two concepts to be able to fit into the theme of the day. So we therefore see, according to this, why the Rambam emphasized that the Ketz Mechila V'Slicha,
The only finality of total purity and rectification of sin is only possible on Yom Kippur, because there's no other day during the year that you get kapara v'tahara simultaneously. The whole year round you might get a kapara and you're protected from midas adin because you did tshuva in and tshuva miyava, kilachot miolam, but purity of neshama, rectification of sin, that's not a possibility except on Yom Kippur. Which now brings me now to the next yisod. Tshuva miyava, tshuva miyira. And it's very good to throw around these terms. And people sometimes throw around the terms and say, you figure it out yourself. But the Rav then asked a very simple question. How does a Jew or a Jewess accomplish tshuva miyava? It's one thing to say, do it. But how do you reach that darga? How do I do tshuva because of love? How we do tshuva because of yira, it's easy. How do you do tshuva with love? So the Rav said, his Kabbalah was, going back to Rav Chaim, going back to Volozhin, was the Kabbalah they had from Chaim Volozhin, which is quotation E on the left-hand side of the page. The famous Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was the great Volozhin of Rosh Yeshiva, who started the yeshiva, which later on became the source of Brisk, has his Kabbalistic, philosophical, theological treatise, Nefesh HaChaim. He deals with the power of Torah. And you have to read what he says. Look in quotation E. What is the reason that the Tanakh has, and the Torah has, the word Nechalem next to Ohalim? River should be mentioned next to tents. Loimalach, Ma Nechalem Malan Adam Mitum LaTara. The same way bodies of water purify us when we go to mikvah. Even if you don't go to a physical mikvah, you go to a body of water, a river, an ocean. Af Olam Malan Adam Mikavchol Chavschus. The tents of Torah will also take us from Chovah to Schus. Mamayim halolo mikveh tahara hein liYisrael lechol shenivra ba'olam kach divrei Torah mikveh tahara hein liYisrael b'chamakamas mashvasehem ubo urei kama gedolo kochel shel Torah shematahareres esposhi Yisrael bizman she'osen tshuva afilu me'avodah zarah shebiyadam. Now we come to the crucial three lines. Ki ika hatshuva hashleima. You know what ika tshuva is? Harmitis. Shehi ma'ava. How do you get there? Hurak ayde esek ha-Torah k'ra'ui. If a person learns Torah in a proper format, with proper understanding, and proper conceptual analysis, that type of learning Torah, k'ma shekasa malas ha-Torah oyeves ha-makom, that brings you to such a connection of avas Hashem, that hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, hachzareinu b'shuva shleima fanecha. According to the Nefesh HaChayim, it's not just studying texts of Torah, but we're talking about a person who's learning Torah. I don't care who you are. I don't care what part of the Torah you're learning. Whether it's Tanakh, whether it's Mishnah, whether it's Nevi'im Ksuvim, whether it's Chumash, learning a Blat Gemara, Bavli or Sham, I don't care what it is. The process of learning, but not just learning, just translating words, conceptually analyzing what's really being taught to you by the Gemara, and getting involved in that process gives you what the Rambam calls in his Marei Nevuchim a certain hakaras elokis, an understanding and knowledge of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. In fact, the Rav said to understand the Nefesh HaChayim, look at the quotation F below. And that is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Did you ever wonder, when the Torah says you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you ever ask yourself the question, it's nice to say I have to love Hashem, but what does that mean, practically? And how do I do it? I, as a human being, could develop a loving relationship with another human being by being with them continuously, talking with them, relating with them, and over time, a love develops. Boy and girl meet each other over time, it becomes Ava. It doesn't happen instantaneously, but over time it develops into an Ava. How does a finite entity develop a love for an infinite entity, or say differently, how does an entity that has a corporeal existence develop a love for an incorporeal existence? How do I develop an Ava for Hashem? It's a nice mandate. You say it. After Hashem Elokecha. But how do you pragmatically do it? So the one who asked this question was the Rambam. And the Rambam says, if you look in quotation F, Hatzivish nistavano avasach lisparach sasaleh. We have a chiv to give love to Hashem. So how do we do this? So he quotes, Uloshin hasifrei, if you go down four lines, Lefi shenema hafta shem elokecha, ein yodei is the proper gear, so case oivis amokam. The ones who asked this question with the Sifrei. Very nice God, you told me to love you. But how do you accomplish that? It's good to tell me to do this.
But how do I accomplish it? So the Sifrei says, you know what the answer is? Hashem gave you the answer in the Torah. Because after Haftar Hashem Elkecha says, V'hoyu ha-dvarim elu shemelech mitzav chayom alovecha, shemitokach atuamak yirmishom avoy ha-olam. What does that mean? When a person studies Torah, your purpose of studying Torah should not only be what's mutter, what's aser. Sometimes people get so involved in the minutiae that they'll spit out all the chumras of the Mishnah Berurah, all the chumras of the Chayadam. But that's nice, but you're forgetting the bigger picture. What's the Rabbanu Shalom all about? Who's the God who's commanding you all these mitzvahs? What do you know about the persona of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The reason that Chazal created Midrashic literature is to deal with this problem. Because if I just spend the whole day memorizing Hilcha Shabbos and all the minutiae of Hilcha Shabbos, all the halachas of Birchas HaNenim, and go through all the Shulchan Aruch, I can memorize all the halachas, but that doesn't mean I've connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You have to, by learning Torah, spend time to try to perceive who is the Rabbeinu Shalom, what is the Rabbeinu Shalom, why am I supposed to develop a connection with him, what am I supposed to understand from Hashem, and that's an evolutionary process. It doesn't happen overnight. People who learn over time will tell you that the more you learn Torah, the more love you have for it, and the greater way that you analyze it to the point that you want to not only analyze what's mutav yasa, but who Hashem is, who's the mitzvah. The more time you spend upon that part of analyzing Torah, you develop a personality of who Hashem is. You develop a kesher, a relationship. It's called hakaris elokis, idias elokis. A knowledge of Hashem that's developed through the literature of Torah, all of Torah, over time, will eventually, at some point in time, bring you to an emotion of hakaris atov, which will then bring you to love. But it doesn't happen instantaneously overnight. Whoever tells you that is fooling themselves. Nothing in human emotion happens overnight. And if it does, it's not worth too much. Ava tuliba dava, batla dava, batla dava, batla ava. It's something that takes time for a person to slowly but surely develop. So Ram says the only way a person can develop there for avas Hashem is first having avas Torah. You love Torah, you learn it. It's a good discipline. Get involved with it, yom v'layla. Once that gives you the ability to perceive who Hashem is, that over a period of time will give you a knowledge, an understanding, and an Ahavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says it very explicitly. Look to the next page. On the third page, on the bottom of the page, quotation A, the Rambam, for some strange reason, I'll explain very shortly, has as the last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, a chapter that has nothing to do with Tshuva. This chapter, Perek Asiri, is the last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, and he deals with being Oved Hashem Ava, Oved Hashem Yira. There's not one mention over here whatsoever about tshuva in this specific perek. Why it's placed over here, you'll see very shortly. The last halacha in this perek, halacha above says, Dov yidu ubarur, shein aves HaKadosh Baruch Hu neksheres b'libo shel adam, ashe yishka b'tamid kara'oi. You want to develop a love for Hashem. That's not going to happen, kara'oi, until you do certain things. You first have to self-sacrifice certain of the pleasures in this world to basically get out of the gashmis, to get a little more to ruchnias. You have to have some mesiras nefesh. But your love Hashem will depend upon your knowledge base of who Hashem is. What does Ram teach you? That in order to develop Abbas Hashem, that will depend how much Chachma you use. Whether it's Chachma Satira, and you say the Torah, the Ram says, no, there's Chachma Satira. If you spend time analyzing Masa Bereshis, the physical universe, you look in a biology lab, in a cell, and you say, look what the Rabbeinu Shalom created over here. You analyze a human being's body and realize there's no way we could exist every moment unless Hashem with His chesed allowed all the body parts and all the organs to function simultaneously together in a well-balanced fashion. Doctors will tell you one little change in a second can mean life and death. One little tube opens and one little tube closes. You're finished. We say it in the Ashiyatza. So therefore, a person according to the Rambam can come to a recognition of the godless Habari by learning Torah, to see the incredible mindset of HaKadosh Baruch by studying Torah, and you see the Sfaros of the Tanayim, the Amarayim. If this is the brilliance of these individuals, look at the God who created this type of wisdom. If there's a Vilna Gaon, if there is a Shlomo HaMelech, if this is human intellect, then what is the intellect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created these wise human beings, who created B'Tselem Elohim? So slowly but surely a person, if he really takes the time to think about Torah from that level, is able to come to some type of cognizance who the Rabbeinu Shalom is by either studying Torah and the brilliance of the Chacham who wrote the Torah, or by studying the Maaseh Bereishis, the Bri itself, the sciences. There's one day quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Sin Shin Vav in Hilchos Arei Chaim, whether or not you can study sciences on Shabbos. And there's a Yesh Arman quote over there in the Shulchan Aruch, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah Halach LaMaaseh. If a person is turned on by Kadosh Baruch by studying biology on Shabbos, besides learning a black Gemara, so be it. Because what's the nafkimi if he discovers HaKadosh Baruch by seeing his Bria or seeing the Torah he created? It's the same source, the ultimate source for both, to come to awareness of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And therefore he even allows you, the Ramah says, if that's the case, you know, look in the telescope. You know, you see the heavens, the Shemayim. You come awestruck of the symmetry of this specific universe. Einstein discovered it himself without having the Rambam teach him this. The symmetry of the universe is so mathematically perfect it couldn't be the result of a Big Bang. There had to be some type of entity up there causing this thing to be so symmetrically, mathematically perfect, and able to be calculated with precision. So if that's the case, you can come to Hakaras HaBari. But that Hakaras HaBari is a mandate in order to achieve Avas Hashem. The Rav said, what is the yesod of this Nefesh HaChaim is, if a person comes to Avas HaTorah and comes to Avas Hashem by studying this Torah, that will be the mavo to bring you to Tshuva Mi'ava. Because a person will only come to a kesh of Tshuva Mi'ava if you realize who the God is, who's the Mitzvah. If you have no idea who the Mitzvah is, and you just look like a bad king who punishes you, and that's all you think about God, you're going to do Tshuva Mi'ira. If you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the Chesed She'en Kamo'u, and the Barei She'en Kamo'u, and the Yotzah She'en Kamo'u, and the Bachachma She'en Kamo'u, if that's your procession of Hashem, and therefore you develop a kesher, not merely an emotional love, but more of an intellectual level, we call Yeros HaRomimus, which is a form of Ava. That is what brings you to Tshuva Mi'ava, and that's what the Rav said, is what Lev Shechaim is saying over here, that the way you come to Tshuva Mi'ava is by Terem Ava. Terem Ava brings you to an Ava Hashem, which then brings you ultimately to the motivation to do Tshuva Mi'ava. So if that's the case, yes sir? Shin Vav, Simin Shin Vav. It's the Shitas HaRashpo of the Ramban, quote over there, who allows you to study sciences, if that's going to turn you on when it comes to Shabbos. After all, Shabbos is a day. We're commemorating Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And we're supposed to therefore come to the awareness Hashem is the Borei Olamim. What's the nafkimi? You do it by learning a Blat Gemara, you do it by studying a book on sciences that gives you an awareness of the Godless HaBorei. You're having the same spiritual experience in Shabbos by doing both, because what you're really saying is, the same God of Briyas Olam is the God of the Briyas HaTorah. And therefore, Yediyas HaTorah and when it comes to Yediyas of science, both can bring you to awareness of Hashem. The Ram gives, however, one Ha'orah. He says in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, even though both are a mavo to acknowledgement of Hashem, the more fail-safe, which the more we call safer way of coming to this is by studying Torah and then studying science. He says, many people study science and never became aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the better way is to be mushrish in science first, and then spend Shabbos to study these other chachmas for the purpose of come close to Hashem. For Ramah has a tshuva, where he says the whole week he used to study Torah, and on Shabbos what he used to do is study philosophy and sciences to turn him on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he studied Torah the whole week, so therefore he used Shabbos as to basically supplement his knowledge of the Rabbeinu Shalom. For Ramah could do it, you could do it. I mean, basically he's possibly Shittos, though he passes in Shulchan Aruch. But Bein Kach, what I wanted therefore to mention, but shame the Rav, that if that's the case, the secret for Tshuva Mi'ava is therefore Avas Hashem, which is only capable based upon Torah knowledge and Avas HaTorah. One brings to the other. Now with this in mind, we're now going to answer all the questions. Let's go back now to page number one. I so far answered the question of why tshuva tzok are good and asaris may tshuva, and why Yom Kippur is the keitz b'chilu v'slicha. That I answered already. I already answered the stira between the Rambam and Halacha Gimel and Dalet and number D, that we already answered. The only source I have not answered yet is the Medrash Pli I started off with tonight. Now listen to what the Rav said. The Rav said that we have a principle. When it comes to analyzing the mitzvahs of B'nai Yisrael and mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, if you look very carefully and you analyze very carefully, there is a very interesting phenomenon. The Bnei Noach are mitzuvah on losa says only. All the Shemitz Bnei Noach are knows. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't blaspheme Hashem's name. Don't steal. Don't rob. Don't commit immorality. Don't worship idolatry. There's no mitzvah asay that applies to a Bnei Noach. What? Even setting up courts is the asay of the lav of not doing perversion when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chavero. This is the famous Ramban's critique of the Rambam, where he says that halacha l'masa, the isa of the, there's a lav of dinim, and there's an asay of dinim. The lav of dinim is all of chesh mishpat. Ben Adam L'Chavero. Like, you know, any type of anos ha'advarim, the concept of forced rape, the concept of any type of activity of an avu b'shin adam l'chavero, that is the lav of dinim. There's an assay that in order to adjudicate it, practically you have to set up a court system. But that's a practical phenomenon, because you can't adjudicate something without a court system. But according to Ramban, dinim is a lav primarily, not so much an assay. The Ram is difficult, and I'm not going to go into Ram tonight, that's a separate shir b'fnei atzmo. But according to the Ramban, you have the mitzius that they're basically mitzuvah on lois asays. We are mitzuvah on asays, but lois asays. They are not. So the question is why? Why is that the case? So the Rav points out, and he points this out b'shem his great grandfather, the Beis Halevi, the one he was named after, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, who was also a Rosh Yeshiva in the Vilazhin Yeshiva, same time with the Netziv, that the Beis Halevi says, there's a pasuk which we say each and every day in davening. We say it, but do we know what we're saying? It's the old altamais. We say it. It says in Kapitel Kuf Mem Zayin in Tehillim, Magid Dvarav LiYakov, Chukim Mishpatim LiYisrael, Lo Asachen LeChagoy Mishpatim BaYidum Haleluka. We say it each and every day in the pasuk of the Zimra. What does that pasuk mean? So the Beis HaLevi said what this means is to understand the depth of Torah, and to get the Kedushas HaTorah, you have to have the unique Kedushas Israel of a Jew. Which means that you have to have the unique Tzelem Elokim that Jews have, with the aid of Torah, and with the aid, quite obviously, of our entire system, to be able to penetrate Torah on such a level that that type of learning Torah should generate an Ava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the pasuk tells us, if a non-Jew would try to attempt this, he wouldn't accomplish it. Why? Because at the end of the day, even with all our hashtadlis to learn the Torah, and to try to delve into its depth, to get that perception of Hashem we so desire, the Gemara at the end says in Masechtas Megillah, you still need siyata min hashma. You still need God to help you to accomplish that. We always say, when it comes to the brichas Torah, Hashem is the nice in that Torah. And the Magen Avraham says, when we're learning Torah, we have to feel that what we're learning, Hashem is standing in front of us and teaching us everything that we're learning. The Rav used to talk this way. The Rav used to say, what I'm learning, the Rambam. The Rabbeinu Hashem and I are sitting together, learning the Rambam together, and he's teaching me how to have an understanding what the Rambam means. He said, I'm having a dialogue with the Rambam, but the Rav said that the Rabbeinu Hashem is helping me have that dialogue to give me my conceptual analysis. That's called Siyata Dishmaya. That is an exclusive capability based upon the unique Tzelem Elokim we had going back to Har Sinai, different than the Tzelem Elokim the rest of the world has going back to Masa Bereishis. At Har Sinai, by Kedushas Israel, we got a new Tzelem Elokim of Kedushas Israel, which the world itself didn't get because they were not Makabal the Torah. When a Ger's Mizgayer, Kekotet Shnoludom, he gets that new, the higher level of Tzelem Elokim. But if he doesn't Mizgayer himself, he has the lower level. The higher level of Tzelem Elokim, which we got at Har Sinai, which all Jews have at Kedushas Israel, allow them to be zochet a certain siyata d'shmaya to understand Torah on such a level that that Torah will generate for you an avas haTorah and avas Hashem on the highest conceptual level if you allow yourself to go through the entire process. What the pasuk says, if a non-Jew, a brilliant non-Jew, would try to attempt the same exact thing, a brilliant non-Jew, the pasuk says, la'asachein l'chagoy u'mishpatim b'yadun, he'll never ever penetrate on the level that he wants, because he doesn't have the schus of that Tzelem Elokim, of that Kedushas Yisrael, to be able to accomplish that. He's mitzuvah in lavim. He's not mitzuvah in asays. Now, the Ramban, the famous Ramban says, all the lois asays of Torah mechuvin keneged yiras Hashem, all the asays are mechuvin keneged avas Hashem. Why is an asay docholos asay, the famous Ramban says in Chumash? Because ava is a greater emotion than yira. Therefore, an ava, which is the asay, is docholos asay. If that's the case, the Bnei Noach are only mitzuvah on Yiras Hashem, they're not mitzuvah on Avas Hashem. For them, they don't have the Torah to bring them to the level of Avas Hashem on the level that we're talking about. If that's the case, the Rebbe said very simply, a Ben Noach can do tshuva, but the level of tshuva he can reach based upon his spiritual capabilities is a tshuva miyira. The only one who could do tshuva miyava is who is Klal Yisrael, because we have the ability, by the fact we are able to reach Avas Hashem, to do tshuva miyava based upon all the mechanisms I explained up until now in the shiur this evening. If that's the case, what the Rav said, this is what the Medrash meant on the first page. It says, Yis Hashem Panav Eilecha. Where's that coming from? That's coming from Birchas Kehuna. We're talking about now Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch on the highest conceptual level of bracha, of beneficence over here. Hashem is Nosei Panim. When is He Nosei Panim to us? If we behave properly, if we do tshuva. If we rebel and sin and basically sully our neshama, and we bring ourselves down spiritually, Lo Yisa Panim, Hashem's not going to give us any favoritism. But if we do tshuva, Hashem says, Yisa Panim, I'll give you total forgiveness on a level that I mentioned tonight, where you have a tshuva miyava, where it's as if you never sinned before, where the Zodim becomes Zachievs. I might think Talmud Leimer, that this capacity might apply even to the non-Jewish world. Talmud Leimer, Eilech Evlo Umacheres. The non-Jewish world has tshuva, and they have to have tshuva, because I gave you Raya tonight of Cain. I gave you the Raya tonight of Noach and his generation. I gave you the Raya of Sodom Vamira, of Nineveh. They did tshuva. Those who did tshuva were given expiation. Hashem was Karei the Gezar Din. But the tshuva that's portrayed in Nineveh, in Yaina, is the tshuva Meira. They were afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally destroying the entire city. A tshuva Meira they're able to do, but that only reduces the sentence and maybe protects them. But that's not tshuva Meira. The only ones who have the capability of doing tshuva Meira is Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what the Pasuk is referring to over in the Medrash. That when it comes to Yisa Panim, that level of tshuva miyava, that's only Klal Yisrael's capacity, not that of the non-Jewish world. So the Rav said, what's my proof for this? He says, let's backtrack a little bit. The Medrash only quotes Yisa Shem Panav Eilecha. What's the Pasuk before that? The Pasuk before that is, Yor Hashem Panav Eilecha Vichuneka. What does that Pasuk refer to? That refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us insight in our knowledge of Torah. What do we say by Berachas Kehuna? Hashem should give us the spiritual insight to perceive Torah on the highest conceptual level, that we should be able to reach the ultimate level of knowledge of Torah through the Siyata Shemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yashem Panav Elecha V'Necha, what's the result? Yishem Panav Elecha V'Yisem L'cha Shalom. You have Nisiyas Pan. So the smichas of the Pasuk in Parshas Naso is, if we have the schus of learning Torah on a level of Torah L'shma, and we learn it Mi'ava, that will give us such an ability to reach a tshuva miyava that the result's going to be Yisa Shempana Vilecha. You'll have a tshuva of a tshuva miyava that causes a total eradication of a sin, but that's Eilecha Nalumacheres. Only you have the capacity, but Bnei Noach don't have the capacity. Nobody should think tonight we're saying the non-Jews can't repent. Chas v'shalom. I proved tonight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo b'trunim b'riyos, that's not a possibility. Everybody has a chance to repent. The Rambam Hilchos Teshuva goes out of his way to say that there's no concept of any human being not being able to repent, while later on a Kaddish Baruch was Machmed, the Libo Shalparo, or other individuals, was because they reached a certain level of sin, where at that point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you say he took away their Bechira, or he prevented them from seeing the truth and therefore not repenting for whatever divine reasons. But under normal circumstances, everybody has Bechiris Chavshas. Every non-Jew together with every Jew has Bechiris Chavshas. That's one of the major yesodos of the Hashkaf, of the theological way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls this world and this Chavonish. If a Ben Noach observes his Sheva Mitzvah Kahogin, the Rambam says, and he believes God gave them, he also has a portion of the world to come. We're not with this type of a group of people who believe that they don't have a Gan Eden. They have a Gan Eden as well if they observe their mitzvahs according to the dagger they're supposed to observe them. We're not supposed to proselytize people to bring them up to the level of being Jews. On the contrary, we're supposed to be doch unless we feel this sincerity. So therefore, what I want to end off with is the Rav said, if you want a further proof to my thesis, look at the Shabbos Shuvah Haftorah we read yesterday. It says in the Haftorah in Hosea, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Over here the Medrash says, Ad Hashem Elokecha. What kind of Shuvah is this? Shuvah of M'ava, the Imamish return back to the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if you never sinned before. The Ram quotes this Pasuk in Hilchos Shuvah in Perek Zayin. That's talking about the Zodom being basically looked on a lower level. But how do you accomplish that? So the pasuk says, "Kechul mechem devarim v'shuv el Hashem." What's "kechul mechem devarim" mean? So there's a phrase. You know what that means? It's studying Torah on a very deep level. When you study Torah on a deep level, "kechul mechem devarim," that will give you a shuv Hashem Elokeichem, allow you to do tshuva me'avad, to return back to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So you now have two proofs to this specific thesis. The pasuk from Hosea we read in yesterday, that learning Torah on the proper level, giving you an avas a Torah, an avas Hashem, will bring you to tshuva me'ava. And also the smichus and birchas kohanim, that Yerashem ponav elecha v'chonecha. And if you look very carefully in these words, look later on in the Abarbanel in his parish, we're talking about learning Torah. Ha'aris panim means with tremendous yata d'shmaya, and chen means knowing Torah on the very high Kabbalistic metaphysical level. If we know Torah on that type of level, we'll be able to reach this type of tshuva miyava of nesiyas apanim. This is what the Medrash meant. At the end of days, the Rambam was convinced that Sof Yisrael asos tshuva. At the end of days, Claudius is going to do tshuva, which means at some point in time, there's going to be a religious desire upon Claudius at large to return and repent and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've seen a little bit of this in our time. We surely saw a lot of this in the 67 war, where a lot of people wanted to return. But unfortunately, for some reason, which I'm not going to go into tonight, the momentum started to slow down. Our mandate of Klal Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh, if you ask my humble opinion, and what we have to do, and this is something that's a sine qua non for the preservation of Klal Yisrael of the future, is we have to continue the Kir Rechokam of Klal Yisrael, to bring people back to the Chanfei Ashrina, to give them an insight, understanding of the Torah. We can't just rely upon Kir Rechokam specialists. We got to work on our fellow workers in the office, our neighbors, people we come in contact with, to discuss Torah with them. I have found today in my own personal experience that there's such a thirst and desire for spiritual knowledge today. I think one of the reasons is people feel very uncomfortable in the environment we're living today. The environment today is such a dangerous environment. What do I mean dangerous? You no longer have a sense of security. What the natural catastrophes have caused, whether it's Katrina or Rita or the tsunami, and now the threat of avian flu, is people no longer feel secure. Because I'm here today, and I'm gone tomorrow, and there's nothing in the world I can do, no place I can run to stop that eventuality from taking place. Between the threat of a nuclear potential war, if supposedly bin Laden has nuclear arms, which they claim he does, people are starting to panic. What are people doing now when it comes to the threat of having a potential attack in the subway? Mr. Bloomberg was by us on our community today in Far Rockaway telling us, because he was campaigning, "Leave it to me with my police force. We'll prevent any attacks from taking place." England had a pretty good police force. Scotland Yard is not a defunct organization. But when a terrorist wants to do something as a terrorist does, and he's willing to kill himself to accomplish it, you can't stop a suicide bomber. Israel might have a tremendous military capability, but suicide people willing to kill themselves and dress in a cosmetic fashion, it's difficult to stop these type of people. We need tremendous siyata d'shmaya. People are scared today. They're afraid. They're looking for some type of spirituality, spiritual direction. We have a golden opportunity now to give them that direction, to give them insight. People speak to me, not because I'm just a rabbi, but people just talk. What are we going to do? Chazal say, if a person wants to save himself from chevel Mashiach, there are only two things he can do. Yasek b'torah u'gemilas chasadim. And I found yesterday a very interesting statement made by Rav Steinman in Panovich. Rav Steinman says, when the Gemara says, whoever wants to be nitzel from chevel Mashiach, ish be'isik and tarim gemilas chasadim, that doesn't mean this is an alternate eitzah. He quotes the Chafetz Chaim saying, this is the only eitzah. There's no way to save yourself from chevel Mashiach, and we're living in chevel Mashiach. I can't think of anything worse than what we've gone through the last 60, 70, 80 years, including the Holocaust. We're living in Chevel Mashiach. The only way to save ourselves as a nation, as a person, as a Jew, as even a non-Jew, is to be Osek in spiritual parts of the Torah, come closer to Hashem, and to be Osek in Milas Chasadim. We believe, Kol HaMarachem HaBriyos, Marachem HaLov, there's a Midah Keneged Midah. And in fact, I once saw recently a Sichas Musar from the great Bali Musar in Eretz Yisrael saying that when Hashem says, Kol HaMarachem HaRachem HaLov, it's based upon a simple system of calculation. It's not that you have to have anything else. When you marachem ala b'riyos, Hashem's marachem upon you. It's an instant category in divine, this case, schav einish, where if you give rachemim, Hashem pays you back with rachemim. It's a gezeirah sekasuv, but it happens automatically. If we show chesed and love to our fellow human beings, not only avisel, but avisel brios, the Ari HaKadosh says something quite interesting to his Talmidim before he passed away. He told his Talmidim that you reached Avis Israel, you reached Avedas Hashem, you did everything you had to do when it came to your Kabbalistic and spiritual attainments in this world, but there's one thing you haven't reached yet. But he didn't want to tell his Talmidim directly before he died, so he told later on one of his other Talmidim, Lacham Oiso, to tell his Talmidim what they're missing. And what the Rebbe told them is, not only do you have to have Avis Israel and Avis Hashem, but you have to have an Avis Abrios. You have to feel the pain and anguish of the world at large, because at the end of the day, you are an Erla Goyim. You will determine the spiritual direction of the world at large. And they look upon you, whether you realize it or not, we're always in the front page of the New York Times. And that's not an accident. The Rebbe Hashem is sending us a little subliminal message that you are the Amenivcha, whether you want to accept that mission or not. And the world uses us as a gauge when it comes to their spiritual conduct, whether we realize it or not. Speak to other clergymen from other faiths, and you'll see they come to us when it comes to medical ethical questions. They ask us, what would you do in this type of case? At the end of days, Klal Yisrael is going to be that source of spiritual enlightenment to the world, as the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Malachim. It's happening already now. You have to be sensitive to be able to perceive it. Where Christian clerics used to burn us by the stake, now they're asking us to come to lecture to them to give us perspective about Bible literature and Schava Einish and medical ethics. We're living in a crazy world today. We're so in it, we don't even realize what's happening in front of our eyes. What we have to do, and we have to do it seriously, is to spread the word, to share our knowledge on the respective level, whoever we're talking with, and realize at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the manifest destiny of this world. If he wants the world to survive and exist, it will be. If he doesn't want it, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. If he wants Klal Yisrael to flourish, to be redeemed, and Gula to take place, there's no force in the face of the earth. The most powerful powers cannot stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu from doing such. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, woe to that nation that will try to impede HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gula when the Gula starts to take place and try to stop it, the Gemara says. Woe to that nation that will try to stop it. And there are many nations who try to stop it, and we see what Jewish history has told us in the last couple of years. But what Steinman says, I never saw a Litvish Gadol and Panovich say this before. I never saw Hasidish Gadolim or some Gubalim. He says, we're now in the process of Geula Kindalach. And this is Geula with all the pains. Get ready to be Eisik B'Teril harder and more Gemilas Chesed, because now we're going to be confronted with all types of Chevel Mashiach. Unfortunately, a couple of days ago, if you read the email that's been sent around, Rav Kaduri said in Eretz Yisrael, that we're now going to be subject to all different types of upheavals in the world we never even thought about before. What we've seen up until now is nothing. This is part of the ultimate end of days. When it's going to be, I don't have a date. But if something happened in Shemayim, this can't be a coincidence. All these catastrophes in such a short time frame, it can't be just a coincidence. There's the Yad Hashem. We're praying now on the Aseres Mechua, not only for ourselves, but for the world at large. And let's hope our tefillahs will be heard, that HaKadosh Baruch will have rachamim, and Emes, let's hope and pray that we'll see such a geula, such a redemption on the level of miracles, even greater in Sias Mitzrayim, that Lashon Haba Yerushalayim HaBenuya, we'll be able to be in Eretz Yisrael next year, learn Torah together in Yerushalayim HaBenuya, with Bis Mashiach Tzidkenu, with Shalom in this world, Amen V'Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.